All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Ayin Gimel 73. We are picking up on Ayin Beis and Mid Beis. So we'll remember again, we ended off yesterday with a beautiful machlokas in Abaye and Rav, a fascinating machlokas as to when a witness becomes an Eid Zomim. If a witness becomes an Eid Zomim, from what point? From what point in time is his disqualification in effect? So Abaye said the Mafreya. Abaye says it extends retroactively, and Rava said it was Mikanul Lahaba from here going forward. So we'll say. So remember again when Abaye said the Mafreya. So remember just to illustrate the case. So let's say Reuven gives testimony. Reuven gives testimony in the month of Sivan. And then what happens? It turns out that he's made an Eid Zomim in the month of Tammuz. But what ends up occurring is between Sivan and Tammuz, between that first testimony and the time that he becomes an Eid Zomim, he's served as an aid in a number of other capacities. So the Shaila is, what is the status of that Eidus? So according to Abaye, everything that he has done, all the witness capacities in which he has served since the first testimony in Sivan, ultimately become invalid. Rav, on the other hand, says, no, he's only invalid as a witness from the moment that he's established as an Eid Zomim and going forward. So says the Gemara, Abaye Amar, so also we're going to pick up 2, 4, 6 lines off from the bottom, Ayin Beis and Mid Beis. So Abaye Amar the Mafrehu Nifsal. So Abaye says that the witness becomes possible retroactively, Me'ahu Shaita Da'asit Havilei Rasha. Because also it turns out that from the moment he gave that original testimony, we'll call it in Sivan, he is a Rasha, meaning because he is a liar. V'atora Amra Atashes Rasha, Atashes Rasha. 8. And the Torah says, Do not go ahead and Azrili Atashes Yadcha Im Rasha Lihios Eid Hamas. Therefore, again, from the time ultimately again that he's established as a Rasha, which now is Sivan, the Torah says, do not use him in any testimonial or witness capacity. Therefore, anything that he has served in since the moment that now it's clear he wasn't Eid Zomim, therefore again is invalid. Rava Amar Rava says, no, Mikano Lahabahu Nifsal. Rava says, no, he's only possible from this point going forward. Eid Zomim Chidishim. So Rava says, I'll tell you why. Because the whole notion of Zomimin is a Chidish. How so? The Hatreu training who my chaz is the tzayis lahani, tzayis lahani. So we'll say, remember again, the way Eid Zomim works is the following. Two witnesses come along and give testimony. Two other witnesses come along and say, your testimony cannot be believed. Why? Because imanu hayisim, you are with us in that particular place. So we'll say, what's the halacha? The halacha is we punish the first set of witnesses. So Rava says, that whole idea is a chiddush. We'll discuss this more in Makkos, but this whole idea is a chiddush. Why? Because why should you believe the second set any more than the first set? So it's a special chiddush that the Torah has. So therefore, again, therefore, Rava says, when you're going to disqualify someone on the basis of a chiddush, you only have the ability to disqualify him when? From the moment of the chiddush and on. Therefore, only from the time that he becomes a zomim and on, but not retroactively. Others say, Rava nami kabayi sirle. So we'll say, in an alternate version of this Gemara, so Rava does hold like Abaye. Even Rava agrees that Lamaisa, again, technically, an eid zomim becomes puzzle lemafreya. So the Gemara says, "V'ha'cha haynu taimei d'Rava." And what's Rava's reason over here? Why he says that we don't puzzle the aid lemafreya? Top of ayin gimel mishum psida delekuchos. Rava said, "This is actually an interesting case because we are concerned of causing the purchasers a loss." So look at Rashi. Top Rashi ayin gimel lemadalef shechasaminhu ashtar mechira bein sain. So Rava said, "Listen to this." Rava says, "Here's the problem. The problem is conceptually, I agree." That an Eid Zomim should become Pasul Mafreya. That right, it turns out that he should really become Pasul retroactively to the point where he gave the false testimony, and anything and everything he has done in between should be invalid. But says Rabbi, here's the problem. If you adopt that stance, you put at a disadvantage all of the unknowing parties in the interim. So remember again, Reuven the Eid Zomim gave that testimony back in Sivan, and he's made into an Eid Zomim at the end of Tammuz. And in between that, he's witnessed transactions, he's signed on Shtaros, and about say all of these parties that utilize Reuven as an aide, they had no idea that Reuven was a liar, that Reuven was not an upstanding individual. So as such, again, if you invalidate Reuven retroactively, you're not just simply punishing Reuven, you are ultimately punishing all of these unsuspecting parties. And Rava says you can't do that. You're going to cause people incredible losses. So my Ben Ezra will say, so now we have two versions of Rava. In the first version of Rava, Rava literally disagrees with Abayi, and Rava says that Lemaisa, again, no, an Eid Zomim is only possible Mikana Lahaba. In the second version of Rava, Rava agrees with Abayi, that really I agree in principle that Lemaisa and Eid Zomim should be possible Limafreya retroactively, but what can I do? But what can I do? I'm concerned that we're going to cause other people unintended losses. So my Ben Ezra says the Gemara, what's the practical difference between these two approaches of Rava? So number one, Dasidu be trade lechadu trade lechas. So we'll say, so nafkamina number one would be in a case of, let's say you have two witnesses. Remember, Reuven and Shimon are a testimonial unit. And you have two witnesses that go ahead and testify about Reuven, that he's an Eid Zomim, and two witnesses that testify about Shimon, that he's an Eid Zomim. So both in a case like that, there's no quote-unquote chiddush. Because the only chiddush case of Eid Zomim is where you have two against two. But if you have two against one and two against one, that's not a chiddush case. If that's not a chiddush case of Osai, then Rabba would agree in that case with Abaye that what? That you would passel the Eid Lamafreya. Furthermore, inami, de paslinhu bagazlanusa. But so the other possibility is that it turns out that Reuven was really unfit to go out and serve as an aid. Why? Because it turned out that he was a gazlan. But so someone who's a gazlan, someone who's a thief, is not fit to serve as a witness. So in that case, Reuven's psul as an aid is not coming from the chiddush of Eidim Zomamin. If it's not coming from the chiddush of Eidim Zomamin, then Lemaisa, again, Rabba would agree that in that particular case, we would go ahead and retroactively pass Reuven to the moment that he gave the initial eidos. So says the Gemara, so we'll say in both of these cases, according to the approach that says that Rava only says that Eid Zomim is possible Mikana Lahaba going forward because Zomim to begin with is a Chiddush, neither of these cases have a Chiddush because both of these cases, Reuven is being disqualified by an otherwise established bona fide halacha. But we'll say if you hold that Rava's issue with disqualifying the Eid retroactively is because we will cause a loss to unsuspecting parties, then Ika. Then at the end of the day, that logic, that issue still remains. So Rav Yirmiyahu of Difti, Avad Rav Papa of Dakava said Rava. So Rav Yirmiyahu of Difti said, right, so Rav Yirmiyahu of Difti said that Rav Papa conducted himself like Rava. That when they had an aid who was made into an aid zomim, they only passed him mikanu lahaba going forward, not retroactively. Rav Ashi Amar Hilchos Hakava said Abaye, and Rav Ashi on the other hand said the halacha follows Abaye, and I will say what is the halacha? So Hilchos Hakava said Abaye biyalkigam, and I will say at the end of the day the halacha in fact follows Abaye like yalkigam, which I will say means these are the six cases where the halacha follows Abaye, and by the way the ayin is Eid Zomim. Right? The Ayin is Eid Zomim. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, we paskin like Abaye. I thought I had the Shulchan Aruch over here, but I must have misplaced it. Okay? So, but you'll take my word for it. You don't have to take my word for it. You can look it up yourself. But the Shulchan Aruch paskins that halacha lemaisa, again, we paskin like Abaye, that I'm paskin like this as well. Therefore, an Eid Zomim is pasul mafreya, which I will say is a very, very, very dramatic halacha, because what that literally means is everyone who has, so again, in our case, where Reuven gave testimony in Sivan, and then was made into an Eid Zomim in Tammuz, and let's say in between that time, he signed documents, and he witnessed transactions, every single thing that he's been involved in is now called into question, ultimately again, because of his status. So very, very, very dramatic. Although, remember, more often than not, so remember, we usually, well, this goes into another discussion about proximity of aid, I don't know, proximity is the wrong word, but how quickly the Zomim process itself has to unfold. Because this sounds like over here, the Zomim process could span over months, which is possible. Again, we'll see this more in Makkos, not our topic for today. But just understand that halacha l'maaseh, we do pass like Abaye, that an Eid Zomim becomes pasul l'mafreya. Very dramatic. I'm sorry? All right, for Breira. Right. See here, the truth is, there's no real Breira because the Metzias was, he was a liar from the beginning. It was clear. I didn't know about it. No one knew about it. But the Metzias was there. You know, in Breira, the Metzias is not yet known. Here, he's a liar from the beginning. We didn't know. He saw in Yedia. So says the Gemara.
So if he's on the tube, that means there's no marriage. No.
Because that's not what a ksuva is. A ksuva is a debt. People are married without a ksuva. You have to do another ksuva. Oh, if he signed the get. Absolutely. If he signed, it's a big problem. That's why you have to vet your witnesses. Don't pick guys up at 7-Eleven to sign your get. Yeah, you have to vet them. This, we'll say, you understand now. This is why. Again, when it comes to Eidos, the threshold is exceptionally high, especially for things like Gittin. You know, Ksuva, yes, also, but again, the stakes are much higher. Ksuva, it turns out the Eid is a liar. It's rectifiable. You do another ksuva. That's a rectifiable issue. Get could be significant. Yeah. So we'll say, obviously, these type of situations also, again, we are, you know, I'm giving you the 30-second soundbite of halacha in a much greater topic. See, each of these topics have a Torah unto themselves. But again, at least though we do paskin like Abaye, that's one of the Yalkigam cases. Tnan. Ganov apishnayim v'tavachu machra apihem. So as we learned, if the ganov stole, and there were two witnesses that saw it. The tavachu machra pihem. So we'll say same two witnesses saw the theft as well as the slaughter and sale. V'nimtzu zomimin, and those witnesses were found to be edim zomimin. So mishlamin es hakol. So we'll say in that case, those witnesses pay everything, right? Because remember, it's the same witnesses for theft as well as for slaughter and sale. My love she'idu ala gneva v'chazru v'idu ala tficha v'huzmu ala gneva v'chazru v'huzmu ala tficha. So we'll say, what's the case? Is the case not where they went ahead and they testified about the gneva, the theft, then they went ahead and they testified about the tvicha and mechira, the slaughter and sale, and then they were proven to be zomimin on the gneva, and then they were proven to be zomimin on the tvicha. So we'll say, so again, that's how we're assuming this case played out. One set of witnesses giving two sets of testimony. First on the theft, then on slaughter and sale. Then again, systematically, they are proven to be zomin on the gneva, and then proven to be zomin on the tvicha u'mechira. Says the Gemara, 1 second. If you say we pass like Abaye, that it ate zomin mispasal mafreya, then hani kevan de ismi luhu agneva, igole milsil mafreya, dechi asadu atvicha psulin havu. So we'll say, if that's the case that we paskin, that witnesses are made zomim lemafreya, then what? Then as soon as you prove that this first set of witnesses are edim zomimin for the gneva, then what? Then they're liars. Once they're liars, their testimony about the tvicha mechira is meaningless. And once it's meaningless, so we'll say, this is the interesting part, once it's meaningless, they should be putter from the Arba v'chamisha. Because it turns out retroactively that testimony was never good to begin with. If the testimony was never good to begin with, then lemaisa, again, there's no liability for Arba v'chamisha. To which the Gemara says, Amri Hacham, I ask, you know, what's the case? He goes, Shehuzmu ala tvicha tchila. No. The case for Yerabosai is not like you thought. The case over here is where they were made a dimzomen first on the tvicha and mechira, and then what? And then only afterwards on the gneva. So Amri, sof, ki hader missimi agneva, igali milsa dechi asadu atvicha psulin havu, but amai mishami atvicha. So we'll say, so listen to this, but this says, that's fine, meaning I don't even care about the order. At the end of the day, when they are made zomimin about the gneva, then what does that show you? That from the moment they testified about the gneva, they were already liars, which means that at the time they testified about the tvicha mechira, they were liars as well. If that's the case, why should they be chayiv arba v'chamisha? Let's suppose say, what the Gemara is saying is like this: if it turns out at the end of the day that they were unfit to give that edus from the beginning, then lemaisa, again, they can't be liable for the arba v'chamisha. To which the Gemara says, v'hilchasa, what's the halacha? V'hilchasa, she'id b'vas achas v'huzmu. Oh, we'll say, what's the case? The case over here is, in fact, where they gave both testimonies at once. Right? They gave both testimonies at once. So in other words, we thought they gave testimony about the Gneva, and then, whatever it is, a day later, gave testimony about the Tevich and Mechira. Kamashlan says the Gemara, no, the case is where they gave testimony about everything at once. If they gave testimony about everything at once, so Lemaisa, again, if that's the case, that when they are proven to be Edim Zomimin, ultimately about the Tvicha and Mechira, that doesn't automatically pass them out to the Geneva. So look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, V'ilchos ha-sheidim v'asachos v'huzmu, v'lo-gar sinan v'huzmu v'asachos, v'cheivan de'idim v'asachos leka l'meimar b'shas edus tvicha psulin havu, v'afilu i'amrina l'mafreya nefsal, da'toch k'dei dibor hava. So we'll say, so we're gonna flesh this out just a little bit more. But the idea that the Gemara is suggesting over here is that Lamaisa, they're giving the testimony in one unit, and therefore again there was a shasa kosher, so to speak. So we'll explain this in just a moment. Lema Kitanoi says the Gemara, say that this case is a machlokes tanoim. Or say that this, I should say that this discussion is a machlokes tanoim. What's the case? Hayushnaim idin also sheganov. So let's say there were two witnesses who testified about a person that he stole, and then they also testified that he slaughtered and sold. And what happened? Then they were made edim zomim about the gneva. So another set of witnesses come along and say that first set, how can you testify that you saw Reuven steal the animal? You said you were with us. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Edos shebat lamitzas abat lakula. Once part of a testimonial unit is batel, the entire testimonial unit is batel. So we'll say we're going to explain this case in just a moment. But what it sounds like over here, which is a simple yisod that we already spoke about yesterday, which is once you prove them to be false regarding the gneva, then what? Then by definition, the edus regarding the tvicha and mechira, the slaughter and sale, automatically falls away as well. Why? Because remember, tvicha u mechira is a liability that is built upon geneva. If you haven't established geneva, there can't be liability for tvicha and mechira. So the Gemara goes weiter, huzmu ala tvicha. But again, if let's say they were only made edim zomin about the tvicha, so huzmu ala tvicha. So we'll say in that case, the ganav will have to pay kefil, because remember again, that testimony still remains in place. And I will say, remember again, we spoke about this yesterday, the witnesses will have to pay the hazama, and the hazama over here is going to be three times. Remember, where does this number three come from? Because remember, the most that the aggrieved party could get is arba v'chamisha. So ultimately, again, if the ganav is paying kefil, so the most the Edim Zoma will be chai for is another three times. I'm going to be Yossi. Shabbos says, what's the case? When is this so? B'shte Edios. Shabbos said, this is only talking about, now again, we're going to define these terms in just a moment. So B'shte Edios sounds like we're talking about two sets of witnesses. Aval be'edos achos, but I will say, when we talk about one edos, then edos shebatla miktsasa batla kula. Once, sounds like what he's saying over here, is that lemaisa, again, once one part of the edos is batal, the entire edos becomes batal. So says the Gemara, what are you talking about? My bishte edios umay be'edos achos. What does Rabbi Yossi mean when he says that the case is talking about two edios, two testimonial units? Ilema, Bishtei edios, mamish, bishtei kitos. So we'll say, if you want to say that two edios, two testimonial units, literally means two groups of witnesses, and be'edos achos, bekat achos, b'ze achar ze. And if you want to say that again, one edios means one set of witnesses, who will say, give two sets of testimony, right? First set of testimony that Reuven stole. Second testimony that Reuven slaughtered and sold. And they gave those testimonies in succession. So, V'am Rabbi Yossi, and in that case, Rabbi Yossi says, Be'edos achos, be'vas achos, be'zeh achar zeh. Rabbi Yossi would say, that when it's one set of witnesses who are testifying about two things, one after the other, then therefore he's saying that when they testify first about the theft, and then they testify about the slaughter and sale, when they become edim zomin about the tvicha, about the slaughter and sale, edos shebatla miktsasa batla kula, v'itz zomuluhu agneva. So we'll say, are you saying that according to Rabbi Yossi, if you have one set of witnesses who give two testimonies, right? First they say that Reuven stole the animal. Then they say afterwards that Reuven slaughtered and sold the animal. Are you saying, Rabbi Yossi, that when they are proven to be Edim Zomin about the Tvicha Mechira, then what? They automatically become Edim Zomin on the Gneva also? Or I should say it differently, not to become Edim Zomin on the Gneva, that the Edus by the Gneva is Batal as well? Because do we say, Edus Shebatla Miksasa Batla Kula, Once one part of the testimony is batul, the whole part of the testimony doesn't. Now, both say that the application of that principle over here is very dramatic. Why? Because although it's one set of witnesses giving both of these testimonies, nevertheless, what? It's two separate testimonies. But is that what Rabbi Yossi is saying? That once they're edim zomim on the tvicho mechira, by definition, they're edus regarding the Geneva is batel as well. To which the Gemara say, Rabbi Yossi, if that's what you're saying, where did you get that from? Right? Where did you get that from? So meaning, how do you know that to be true? That just because it's the same unit, once they become Eidim Zomin on the Tvicha Mechira, how do you know that that automatically disqualifies them for the Geneva? To which the Gemara says, therefore you have to say, Be'edos Achos Ke'ein Shtei Edios. Rather, you have to encourage Rabbi Yossi that the case is of one Eidos, one testimonial unit, one set of witnesses, who are giving their testimony like two sets of witnesses. Umaynihu, what's the case? Kat achos, we'll say it's one set of witnesses. Kat achos, beze acharze. One set of witnesses, we'll say, who ultimately, again, are giving their testimony one after the other. We'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, it's kind of in the middle of the page of Rashi, middle of the column. Kat achos, beze acharze. She'idu hayom ala gneva. So we'll say, they testified today regarding the gneva. Va'amru be'echad b'shabiz ganav. Ulamachar ala tvicha, va'amru b'sheni b'shabes tavach. So we'll say one set of witnesses who are giving two separate testimonies on two different days. However, again, says the Gemara, aval, be'edos achas, be'vas achas, lo. But I will say, if the witnesses were to give both testimonies, right? So let's say same set of witnesses were to give both testimonies, i.e. Reuven stole, and Reuven slaughtered and sold, and they were to give all of this, testimony in one unit, then what? Then Einach Inami, if they were to become Zomamin for the Tvicha and Mechira, they would become Zomamin, or not Zomamin, but their Eidos for the Gneva would be Batel and Pasel as well. So both sides. So again, so understand, the way the Gemara is setting this up is fine, it's actually quite intuitive. The Gemara is setting up the case like this, that if you have one set of witnesses that are testifying about Reuven, that he stole the animal, and that he slaughtered and sold the animal. So the Gemara says like this, if the Eidim become Eidim Zomin on the Tvicha and Mechira, what's the impact of that Zomin status about the Geneva Eidim? So we'll say it's clear that because they're Eidim Zomin now about the Tvicha and Mechira, they're going to have to pay the reciprocal punishment. What about the testimony they had regarding the fact that Reuven's a Ganav? What happens to that testimony? To which Rabbi Yossi responds, it depends how it was given. If it was given in two separate units, so let's say on day one they testified about the Geneva, and on day two, they testified about the Tvicha Mechira. But I want to point out, it doesn't have to be two separate days. What it has to be is two separate sessions. So if there were two separate sessions, when they become Zomin about the Tvicha and Mechira, they have to pay the reciprocal punishment for that, but their testimony about the Gneva still remains intact. If, however, they gave both of these testimonies in one session, then Lamaisa, when they become a Zomin on the Tvicha and Mechira, then what? That passels the Eidos for the Geneva as well.
So, the bias thing, it should have factored that in. There's passel Eidos for those mechanisms, which is on the Geneva.
Tvicha's after.
Tvicha's after. So you knocked the Tvicha's after. The previous event was the Geneva.
Correct. So maybe the Abayis won't. This is not Lemafreya. Remember, because he's being proven Eidos Zomin on the latter one. Geneva's first, then Tvicha Mechira. He's proved to be a Zomim on Tvicha Mechira. Right. Sabai's Lamafreya wouldn't work, because Sabai's Lamafreya only works if you go back to Geneva. Right, but he's not a Zomim on the Geneva.
Doesn't have to be. He's a Pasal Eid.
No, he's not. Only from Tvicha Mechira and on, he's a Pasal Eid.
He's a din of an Eid. He's Pasal. You've knocked him out. He's no longer.
From Tvicha and Mechira and on. So we'll say, remember, says the Gemara, and remember, all of this is predicated on the idea that Toch Kedei Dibur Kedibur Dami. We'll say, now, what does that mean? You see, according to Biosi, this whole thing only works if you're Toch Kedei Dibur Kedibur Dami. We'll say, what does that mean? That the idea over here is, if they're giving the testimonial unit in one session, so therefore what? Once he becomes, we're suggesting that once he becomes a Zomim, on what? On Tvicha and Mechira, that by definition is pasul for gneva. That works fine if you hold teuch kedibur dummy, which says, you both say that's what? That when you make two statements in rapid succession, they are related, or not related, they are connected. And therefore, the status of one dibur could impact the other. So if you hold teuch kedibur dummy, that two statements made within close proximity, we'll define the proximity in just a moment, are considered to be made in one utterance, then I understand the shita, which is that essentially, if I'm giving eidos, if the witnesses are giving eidos about kneva and tericha mechira in one session, and they're proven to be eidim zomim about the tericha and mechira, then by definition we assume that the gneva eidos was toch kedei dibor of that. Therefore, if they become zomim on tericha mechira, that impacts the gneva and will passel the eidos of the gneva as well. So the Gemara says, "Ma'ala b'haka meflagi." So what are they arguing about? So the Rabbanan savri mikana lahaba hu nifsal. So we'll say, see, here's the fundamental machlokas. According to the Rabbanan, the Rabbanan hold that when you have an eid zomim is passel mikana lahaba. The chayvan de ma'hi shaita kam mitzmi ataviha de kam mitzam itzu. So we'll say agneva de lo mitzmi lo itzum. So we'll say according to the Rabbanon. So in a case of, we'll say, where the eid is giving testimony, the eidim are giving testimony on gneva and on tvicha and mechira, he's proven to be an eid zomim by what? By the tvicha and mechira. Therefore, from the tvicha and mechira and on, he is an eid zomim. But we don't back up that status to impact the gneva. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi holds, Rabbi Yossi savar, lemafreya hu nifsal. Rabbi Yossi says that he is pasul lemafreya. V'cheivan demiyad kias idu hu demifsal. And since again, I will say, now here's what we're doing. The Gemara is combining a whole bunch of stuff over here. So now what we're going to say is like this. If you hold toch kedei dibur kedibur dami, then what? It turns out that the two statements actually, in a certain halachic sense, become what? Become one. Therefore, again, once you become possible for tvicha and mechira, in essence, what? You become possible for gneva as well. In which case, the chayvan demiyad kias idu hu demifsali. Therefore, again, I will say, it turns out that he is really possible from the beginning, miyad, ki itzmula tvicha. It's munami agneva. Therefore, the same way he becomes an eid zomim, ultimately again on the tevicha, he becomes an eid zomim again on the gneva. So we'll say again, this is a dramatic sheet of Rabbi Yossi. So according to that, so just so you see how this plays out, this is a very specific case where the witnesses are giving testimony, where eidim show up. Reuven stole the animal, Reuven slaughtered and sold the animal. Two other witnesses come along and say, you could not have witnessed the slaughter and sale, you are with us. You are with us. Fine, now they made zomim on the tvicha mechira. The shaila, of course, now is what is the status of the gnev? Remember, they're giving these testimonies at once, together, one session. Toch kedei dibur. Rabbanan say, no, hazama only affects the tvicha mechira. Their testimony for gneva still stands, and therefore, again, they're going to make Reuven the god of chayiv kefal. However, again, Rabbi Yossi says, no, that's not the way it works. Once you say toch kedei dibur kedibur dami, you can no longer split those two testimonies. Therefore, once they're edim zomen for the tvicha and mechira, they're going to be quote-unquote edim zomen for the gneva as well. Now, we'll say, when we say edim zomen for the gneva, it's not literal, meaning we're not going to make them pay kefal back to, but what it means is, if the second part of the testimony is invalid, and toch kedei dibur kedibur dami links the two edus, the eduyos, therefore what? Once they're puzzled on the first, second, they're going to be puzzled on the first as well. Amri, so the Gemara says, Amri ito kedibur dami dechuli alma lemafreya hu denifsal. So we'll say, so says the Gemara, you're right, look, if you all talk kedibur dami, if you subscribe to that principle, that two utterances that are made in close proximity to each other become like one long protracted utterance, one long protracted statement, the enachinami, then you have to view the edus regarding the gneva and aveda, the edus regarding the gneva and the edus regarding the tvicha mechira almost as one continuous statement. Therefore, when they're proven to be zomin on the second part of the statement, by definition, the first part of the statement is disqualified as well. But says the Gemara, again, this is the machlokes. That's really what they're arguing about. Rabbanan sabri toch kedei dibur, very exciting, amud beis, la kedibur dami. So the Rabbanan hold, they don't subscribe to the principle, I will say. They don't hold to the idea that they hold toch kedei dibur, lav kedibur dami. Just because you have two statements that are made, that are uttered in proximity to one another, does that automatically make them like what? like one long statement. Look at Rashi. Laf kidibur dami bahavlu shtei edios or mishum chada lo echash idach. The Mishnah, therefore, again, what? Therefore, in this case, where the witnesses are giving two testimonies, testimony one, Reuven stole. Testimony two, Reuven sold and slaughtered, or I should say, slaughtered and sold. So, Lemaisa, again, we don't look at that as one protracted statement. Therefore, when they are made zomim on the second part of Tzichah and Mechira, that does not automatically invalidate the first part of the Gneba. V'sav Rabbi Yossi, toch kedei dibur kedibur dami. And Rabbi Yossi ultimately, toch kedei dibur kedibur dami. Rabbi Yossi holds no, two statements that are made in close proximity to each other, what Rabbi Yossi, do become one protracted, elongated statement, and therefore what? And therefore, Aloch HaLamaisa, when they are become Edim Zulman on the second part of Tvich and Mechira, that automatically invalidates the first part of the Gneva. Says the Gemara, is that true? V'sav Rabbi Yossi, toch kedei dibur kedibur dami. Does Rabbi Yossi really hold that toch kedei dibur is kedibur dami? Does he really hold that two statements made in close proximity to each other really become like one long statement? Vat, now we learned. Harezu tmuras ola tmura shlama. So we'll say this is a case of tmura. Tmura means I have an animal designated as a karban. And what happens? I want to swap out the animal. Animal A for animal B. And we'll say whether it's tov, bira, rab, tov, whatever it is, first you're not allowed to swap karbanos. No karbanos swapping. And therefore, again, if you do so, then lemaisa there's a penalty. Vayahu usmura so called the shlashem. Both the original animal as well as the tamura animal become sanctified to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we'll say, here's the following case. Let's see, a person says, let this animal be a tamuras ola, tamura shalom. So we'll say, the strange part in this case is, a person is making this other animal, called animal B, a tamura for an ola, tamura for a shalom. And we'll say, now that is an inherently contradictory statement. Why? Because an animal can't be an ola and a shalom. So what do you do with this statement? Harizu tamuras ola. Dear Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that we treat the animal as a tmuras ola. Treat the animal as a tmuras ola. Rashi says over here, Hari is a tmuras ola. Divrei. Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir, tafos la shemisha. Because also Rabbi Meir says that whenever you make two contradictory statements, we seize the first statement and establish that one as the authoritative one. Rabbi Yossi says, in lekach niskavin mitchila, howel v'ef shalikro shnei shemos keecha, dvar kayamin. So Rabbi Yossi says, we ask the guy, and we say to the guy, listen, what was your intention? And if a guy says, listen, my intention is to make it into an ola and into a shlamim, but what can I do? I can't say two words simultaneously. Then Abosai, we actually accept that word and the animal becomes an ola and the shlamim. So mostly you'll say to yourself, how could the animal become a tmura for an animal, for ola and the shlamim? Very simple. What we do in a case like that is we let the animal graze, we wait till it develops a mum, and then we redeem it. And then we take that money and we split that money in between an ola and in between a shlamim. Ve'im amar tmuras ola. But if the guy said, I would like to make this animal in exchange for an ola offering, v'nimlach, and then he changed his mind, v'amar tmuras shlamim, no, I'd like to make it a shlamim offering, hare zu tmuras ola. Then Rabosai's first statement still stands, and ultimately, again, it will be a tmura for an ola. And the Gemara says, v'havina, but we ask about this, Nimlach Pshita, I don't understand. Obviously, if he changed his mind, isn't that obvious that his first statement will stand? Va'amra Papa, Nimlach Besoch Kedei Dibur Kaminon. And Papa said, no, because what's the Chiddush over here? The Chiddush over here is that even though what? Even though he went ahead and he changed his mind, Toch Kedei Dibur, nevertheless what? Nevertheless, Halacha L'maaseh, we will say that his first statement stands. Rabbi Yossi, now you hear the Kasha. What's the Kasha? This is Shitas Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi seems to be of the opinion that if the guy said, Hareze Tmuras Ola, Hareze Tmuras Shlamim, even if he changed his mind, Toch Kedei Dibor, the original statement stands. So we'll say that seems to contradict what Rabbi Yossi said before, because Rabbi Yossi said before that any statement you make, Toch Kedei Dibor, ultimately again, that second statement attaches itself to the first. Therefore, I would have thought in a case like this, where the guy changes his mind about the designation of the animal, and he changes his mind what? Toch kedei dibur of the first statement, then what should happen? The second statement should be binding. Yet Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold of that. So what's the pshat? Does Rabbi Yossi hold of toch kedei dibur or not? To which the Gemara gives an amazing answer. Toch kedei dibur. Rabbi Yossi is amazing. Apparently, there are two different types of toch kedei dibur. Chad kedei she'elas talmid l'rav. V'chad kedei she'elas harav l'talmud. So we'll say there are two different types of toch kedei dibor. So one way we measure toch kedei dibor is the way in which, or is the amount of time in which a talmud, a student, inquires about the welfare of his rebbe. And one is the amount of time that it takes for a rebbe to inquire about the welfare of his talmud. So says the Gemara, ki lestei l'rabbi Yossi, when does Rabbi Yossi not hold of toch kedei dibor? That's kedei she'elas talmud l'rav. We'll say Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold. Now the amount of time that it takes, as we'll see, for a student to inquire about the welfare of his rebbe is longer than for the amount of time that it takes for the rebbe to inquire about the welfare of the talmud. Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold of the longer toch kedei dibor shir. What's the longer toch kedei dibor shir? Ki lestei Rabbi Yossi kedei she'elas talmud l'rav. What's that? Shalom alecha, Rabbi Umori. And I will say that's, so again, when a talmud greets his rebbe, he says shalom alecha, peace be unto you, my rebbe, my teacher. The nafish. That's a long period of time. So we'll say, according to Rabbi Yossi, if that's the shear, if that's the amount of time in between the two statements, then the two statements do not connect. That Rabbi Yossi does not subscribe to that shear. Kadesh she'elas harav l'talmid, shalom alecha. Rabbi Yossi will say, when a Rebbe greets his talmid, what does he say to him? Shalom alecha. So that toch kedei dibor, ultimately, again, Rabbi Yossi subscribes to. So we'll say, just, again, we happen to paskin that toch kedei dibor, even the longer shir of shalom alecha Rabbi Umori, that shir of two statements are made in proximity to each other, toch kedei dibor, that the two statements combine. And in fact, normally the way this comes up, Rabbi Yossi, is where a person says A, and then a person says B. And if a person says B, toch kedei dibor of A, we look at statement B as a modifier of A. That's toch kedei dibor, and even the longer shir of toch kedei dibor. But we see, even those who are toch kedei dibor, there's a sub-machlokis as to which toch kedei dibor you actually hold of. Fine. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabba, Eidim Shuch Shu Labasof Huzmum Neragin. That's another interesting case. Witnesses shehuchshu, Rabosai, who were contradicted. Rashi says where shehuchshu, shnaim omrim harag, ushnaim omrim lo harag. So we'll say the case over here is two witnesses say that Reuven killed someone, and then two other witnesses come along and say, no, Reuven didn't kill someone. As opposed to that in this case over here, they're not making them zomimin, they're contradicting the facts. And then those witnesses become zomim. So then let's imagine another set of witnesses come along. So set of witnesses A, so they testify that Reuven killed Shimon. Second set of witnesses come along and say Reuven didn't kill Shimon. Now saying Reuven didn't kill Shimon is not really Edus. They give a more defined Edus, but they contradict the first. Then a third set of witnesses come along and what? Make the first set of witnesses into Edim zomim. Say you could not have possibly seen Reuven kill. We don't know if Reuven killed Shimon or not. All we know is what? You could not have seen what you claim you saw because you were with us at a different location. So what's the halacha neharagin? The first set of witnesses are made into Edim Zomim. Why? Da'achosha tchilas hazomim. Because Rabbi say contradiction is the first step in the Zomim process. Rabbi say the havamina is, I would have thought that maybe once the first set of witnesses were contradicted, we're done. You know, case closed. And therefore, when the third set of witnesses come along to make the first set of witnesses an Edim Zomim, we say, listen, the case is closed, we're not listening to you. Kamash Malan says, Rava, no, that essentially refutation is the first step in Hazama. Therefore, again, even once the first set of witnesses were refuted, we still listen to the Edim Zomim to come along and make them to Edim Zomim, and ultimately visit upon them the reciprocal punishment. So the Gemara says, Elish lo nigmara. Amar Rava, menan min Allah. Rava says, where do I know this? How do I know this? This sanya meidani beishploni shesimeis einavdo vehepil es shino. Rabbi says, listen to this. Let's say witnesses come along and say, we testify about so and so that he blinded his eved. He blinded his eved, and he knocked out his tooth. So listen to this. So says the Gemara shesimeis einavdo v'yotza lecherus v'achakach hepil es shino v'chayiv litin lo demei shino. So we'll say, so this is an interesting case. Remember, when you knock out the eye or the limb of your eved goes free. So we'll say, in this particular case, what we are now saying is that lemaisa, in this case, where the adon knocked out the eye, therefore with that the eved goes free. When he then subsequently knocks out his tooth, the adon owes the eved the value of the tooth. Why? Because remember, at the time they knocked out the tooth, what is he now? He's a free man, therefore he owes him damages. Shahari harav omer kein, because the master supports this assertion as well. So we'll define the statement, what it means. Benimtzu zomin. And we'll say, then it turns out that what? that they were Edom Zomamin. Right? It turns out that now they were Edom Zomamin. So what's Talacha? Mashal min dine ayin le'evet. So we'll say in this case, so let's say it turns out now that they lied, they'll have to pay the value of the eye to the Eved. Says the Gemara, Hinti Dami, what is this case? Ilei makidik tani. If you want to say it's like it's written, the Leka Katachrina, that there's no other set of witnesses who come along, then Mashalmin, Deme Ayin Le'eved, Basar Dematki Lechirus, Deme Eno Kabay Lechirus. So we'll say, I don't understand. If there's no other set of witnesses, why would they have to pay the value of the eye to the Eved? After all, based on their testimony, the Eved himself has just gone free. Vote, furthermore, Deme Kule Eved Boy Lerav, Deme Kule Eved Lerav Boy Lishlumi. Furthermore, both say, if it turns out that they were false witnesses, then what? Forget about the value of the eye, they would have caused the Adon to lose the entire value of the Eved. That's what they should have to pay. Vote, furthermore, Shai Harav Omer King, what do you mean that the master supports this assertion? Harav Minechale, would the master support this at all? El Alav, Rabbi Bosse says, well, here's the case. Kigon da asul betray, two witnesses came along, va'omri, and they said, hipil es shino, sima es eno. So Rabbi Bosse, two witnesses come along, and they say, we saw this master do two things. He knocked out his eved's tooth, and he blinded the guy's eye. Therefore, deboy meisav leharav deme eno. So Rabbi Bosse, in this model, what would the master have to pay? Remember, the knocking out of the tooth causes what? The eved to go free. Therefore, once the eved is free, if the master subsequently went ahead and knocked out the eye, then lemaisa, again, that's what he's going to be chayiv for. So according to this testimony, these witnesses, based on the testimony, will make the adon chayiv in the value of an eye. Fine. Ve'is va'asu be'trei mitzi. So we'll say, and another, we call them the middle set. But another set of witnesses came along. Va'amri eino va'adarshino. So we'll say, the second set of witnesses contradicted the first. The first set of witnesses said that what? First, the adon knocked out the tooth. Then he knocked out the eye. The second set of witnesses say what? He knocked out the eye, and then he knocked out the tooth. Delo boile mesiv, elo dine shino. So we'll say they're arguing, both are agreeing on two things. Number one, that the Eved went free. Something was knocked out that caused the Eved to go free, and that the Adon did subsequent damage. According to the first set of witnesses, first he knocked out the tooth, and then he knocked out the eye, in which case the Adon will be chayiv for the value of the eye. According to the second set of witnesses, he knocked out the eye, and then he knocked out the tooth, in which case, according to the second set of witnesses, the Adon will be chayiv for the tooth. The kamachshi le kamay le mitziyai. So both say the second set of witnesses are ultimately being contradicting the first set of witnesses. V'hainu shahari harav omer kein. Now both say, if you're the master, you like the second set of witnesses more. Because Rabbi say, why do you like the second set of witnesses more? Because Rabbi say, according to the second set of witnesses, the assumption is that the damage for a tooth is going to be much less than the damage for an eye. So you like the second set of witnesses more because they're the ones who said, first you damage the eye, then you damage the tooth. The Gemara said, the katani, the name to Zomin. And yet, what did the Braisa say? That Rabbi say, if a third set of witnesses came. Now, what did the third set of witnesses say? The third set of witnesses say that what? That the first set cannot be telling the truth. Why? Because they couldn't have seen the master knock out the tooth or knock out the eye of his servant. Why? Because the master was with us. So what's that? Veninzu zomamin mitzii mishalmin demei. I'm sorry. Veninzu zomamin. And it will say, now again, what happens? They become zomamin. So mitzii mishalmin demei ayin le'eved. So it will say, ultimately, again, the Gemara is now putting the Edom Zomin on the second set of witnesses. So what happens? The second set of witnesses will now have to pay the value of the eye to the Eved, right? Why? Because they will say that's what they sought to deprive him of. Shmamina hachosha techila hazomahi. They will say, what do you see from here? You see from here that even when a set of witnesses ultimately are first contradicted, and then only afterwards are they made into Edom Zomin, so I might have thought that again, once a set of witnesses are contradicted, the case is closed, we're done. And even if Edom Zomin, and even if a third set of witnesses consequently come to make them into Edom Zomin, we don't listen to them. Kamashmalan, no. Kamashmalan, that even once a testimony testimonial unit has been contradicted, if another set of witnesses come along afterwards to what? To make them into Edim Zomimin, Lemais again, they can still become Zomimin and will still be Chai for the reciprocal punishment. Right, so we'll stop over here. Abai is going to turn this on its head in Meretz Hashem tomorrow, but we'll stop over here for today. So I'll have to record the Parsha Shir a little bit right after davening in Meretz Hashem. Tomorrow, the Shir is tomorrow afternoon. Remember, the schedule is a little bit different tomorrow because of Shabbos Chazon, so the Shir will be at Yehuda is going to be giving the Shir Meretz Hashem at 5:10 tomorrow afternoon, followed by Mincha at 6:00 p.m. Matzei Tisha B'Av, we have a Shir at 10:00 p.m. So after you go home, break the fast a little bit, we come back to learn in Meretz Hashem, 10:00 p.m. Matzei Tisha B'Av, and then Monday morning we resume a normal schedule.